This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
83-75 with 10 seconds to go, and Bryce Williams brings it up in the backcourt for Nebraska. He'll launch an NBA type three. That's no good. The follow is no good, and the rebound by Julian Reese, and the Terps have come to Lincoln, Nebraska, and knocked off the Huskers tonight. 83-75 is the final.
The funny thing about it is the second time you play them, you understand their defense so much more. The first time we played them, we kept trying to throw it in the post, and that's really what Fred's defense is designed to do, is it let you throw it in the post, but then take it away, and they do such a good job. I think our guys had a better feel for what we had to do, and were able to execute it.
So you heard the final call from Johnny Holiday. The Terps win by a final of 83-75. They sweep Nebraska. And then you heard Kevin Willard after the game. And this is why sports is great. When they played a few weeks back, Julian Reese and Derek Queen combined for 11 points. Last night, they had 37.
Yeah.
And they even had more. Like, they did a decent job rebounding the ball in the first game. They combined for 17. They'll had 23 last night. So the bigs were dominant. All five starters in double figures. Fortunate, because nobody scored off the bench. But the Terps, a big road win. They go to 19-6, 9-5 in conference.
There is such an advanced level of maturity in their play when they get some of these leads in the second half on the road. I know we can just go back to Ohio State, and they did let one slip away. But you look at their general body of work on the road the last month versus anything on the road prior. I feel they're much more comfortable managing close and late situations now. And to me, something that's not going to show up in the box score, and it really wasn't anything that I heard them talk about on the post game, I thought Jacoby Gillespie provided quality possession after quality possession after quality possession once that lead got cut to three. Like, I'll make a little thing in my notes, like whether or not I thought it was a wasted possession or a quality possession, and I kept writing QP. Even some of the misses where they took 20 seconds off the clock and got a decent look down low. He just was so comfortable on the ball, and just the way I felt like he maneuvered and kept changing the point of attack, how comfortable he was with his back to a defender at times, just the way he navigated the area out, like sort of the high arc above the three-point line, the top of the key. I just felt there was a calming presence to what he did. And then I said they're not winning this game unless he penetrates and does some things. And the reverse layup that he made, like sort of after the Euro step in the final minutes, was, I thought, a thing of beauty. But I felt like he commandeered that game and made sure that they stayed within themselves and that they got quality looks. And without him playing the way he plays, you don't shoot 70% on the road in the second half in the Big Ten anywhere, let alone a place that was as raucous as that, if your point guard isn't having a superior night. And I thought he had a superior night. I thought he was a huge part of the reason why they never lost that lead and why, in fact, they ended up building it back up and winning comfortably.
Those possessions down the stretch were awesome. You look at the under four TV timeout, and that was when Bryce Williams was at the line. He made both of his free throws. It was 73-69. Mm-hmm. And then Gillespie with the layup, Rodney Rice with the layup, Selton Miguel with the baseline floater. Those were must-have possessions on the road in a hostile environment against a team that is fighting to get into the NCAA tournament, a team that had won four consecutive games against two of those wins were against ranked opponents heading into this one. And you kept answering. I thought the composure of the team down the stretch was really, really awesome. And I thought just overall, and Gillespie's a huge, huge part of this, of course, I thought the passing last night was exceptional. They had 15 assists. That was their most assists in a game since they had 18 against Illinois. And Gillespie led the way with 7.
Yeah.
I also want to just talk about what Derek Queen's doing right now, because he's, like, last game he had 29 and 15, 24 and 11. Like, did this, he had that little blip where he was, I think he was getting out. What's the word I'm like? He's playing against guys who are fifth-year seniors and he's having trouble.
His head.
Yeah. And now it's coming. You're seeing the athleticism and the smarts and everything coming together. And even, like, there were a couple times where I thought he drew fouls on the baseline. They didn't give it to him. And they said he stepped out of bounds. But, like, he's a high IQ basketball player and kept seemingly making the right play, the smart play, and just dominating inside.
I think... And this is true with a lot of really young players. I think you can tell from the first 4 or 5 minutes how it's going to be for him. And he came out again, and this was against higher level of competition than Rutgers on the road, against more size than Rutgers could throw at him, certainly more experienced size than Rutgers could throw at him. And he came out like a dog, and he was fighting for the ball, and he came out confident, and he got a lot of touches early, which I think is critical for him. And when he gets off to a fast start, it usually snowballs. And when he is a little off kilter and he maybe tries to do a little too much because he's not seeing the ball, or maybe he doesn't understand the caliber of the opponent early on and he picks up a cheapy foul because he's a step behind, then it tends to snowball the other way. But he is absolutely a dominant force right now. He is taking games over for long stretches. And I just keep thinking, when he gets to the next level and develops just a little bit of a mid-range, forget about it.
He's been fantastic. And Ken, you said it, in the first matchup, Julian and him did not much. Queen didn't make a basket in that first matchup. He had a layup 14 seconds in to last night's game. And you know, there was a fadeaway shot. But to me, it was another game in which... he was just cleaning up underneath the basket. You know, misses. And he had 5 offensive rebounds, 6 second chance points. He was doing such a great job cleaning up under the basket.
Oh, there's no doubt. He just watching him play. And by the way, Julian, I thought, the tee notwithstanding, he had the hook and hold. They were trying to send multiple messages during that basketball game. Like, they were on the road and they were talking and they were letting their flag fly, so to speak. They wanted Nebraska to know they thought they were better than them and they were going to beat them in their house, and they ended up doing so.
You could hear that block that Julian had back at College Park. That was a violent
block.
He
might have a big red mark on his palm that ball.
He said, get that stuff out of here. It came across BTN clear as day. Yeah, that was a monstrous block.
Yeah, look, that was... this clearly is not a rivalry, but that felt like a rivalry game, right? Oh, yeah. There was a moment in time when Maryland-Michigan was a thing, and it was chippy, and it was, you know,
yeah,
maybe a little extra
Juwan
here.
Howard, yeah.
Right, a little extra there. This kind of felt like that. And they were up for the fight, and they wanted to let Nebraska know early on they were up for the fight. And honestly, in games like that, I'm glad that Jordan Geronimo's still around here. I thought that kid played his ass off. Remember, he just lost a tooth.
Yeah.
Just had to get
his
face all.
They shoved it back in.
Yeah. Had to get his face all, you know. I mean, I guess it probably counts as oral surgery, right? And
Four stitches.
He's back out there doing all the ugly glue guy stuff that you need him to do.
Did you hear them describe on the broadcast? They said it came all the way out, complete with the root, and they were able to shove it back in because the root came out.
Jesus,
that was some explanation. Anyway, they win. They have USC and Iowa. Iowa and USC, excuse me, the next two games. Right now, they look like they're a six line, and a six line with the arrow pointed up, and you look at them and they're sitting right on the precipice of the double bye. And as they sit a half game behind Wisconsin, who they own the tiebreaker with for the four seed in the double bye in the Big Ten tournament.
I mean, they're one possession at Ohio State away from going in looking for an eighth straight win against Iowa. I mean, that really kind of sums up how well they've played. Really since they kind of turned things around, kind of the UCLA game, right? They came back from the West Coast. They did what they had to do against UCLA. There's been some blips since then, but I feel like that's been a major fork in the road for them, a major turning point. Had they not taken care of business against UCLA that night, I think things could have started to go in a real different direction.
Hey, they did lose that Ohio State game, but all of a sudden, they're winning road games. They beat Illinois, they beat Indiana, and now Nebraska. So, like, that's three of the last four on the road. So that's something, a positive sign moving forward. We have a huge Friday show, and we will continue talking about the Terps, who, if they beat Iowa on Sunday, look to make a big move in the rankings once again. But guest-wise, 3 o'clock. We'll talk to our friend Ariel Epstein, the prop queen, also Best Bets with Beltway Ben Hall. 4:30, we will talk to Andy Katz from Big Ten Network. He's a big proponent of the Maryland Terrapins. We'll let him tell you why coming up at 4:30. And Jacob Calvin Meyer is in Sarasota. Orioles, second day. Pitchers and catchers. Felix Bautista throwing. You feeling better, Jason?
Gigante.
Yeah, he's back on the mound.
Gigante.
He's talking. We'll talk to Jacob at 5.
Yeah, Adley Rutschman in better shape. Is he in the best shape of his life? I don't know, but certainly people are going to be watching everything Adley does very closely. We'll hear what the skipper has to say about Adley. We'll discuss the prospects for an Adley bounce back season. I think not nearly enough is being made of where the Ravens are right now vis-a-vis Lamar Jackson's contract and just how imperative it is for them not to kick the can, not to do just the basic contract restructure, but to kind of tear it up and start over with Lamar and continue to stay ahead of the curve with the best quarterback on the planet.
Coming up next, we'll continue to recap last night's win at Nebraska. Coach Kevin Willard spoke after the game. We will hear from him next here on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Man. I've told everyone for the longest time since I got into this conference that this is one of the toughest places to play. It's a great fan base. They're loud. They're into the game. And I was really impressed with our guys that every time they made a run, you know, we had a big time answer. And it shows you that we've grown up a little bit as a team. We've grown up. We didn't get too razzled at all. We just kind of stayed into it and made some big plays and give them some credit, too, because they made some big shots, too.
That was Kevin Willard after the game, and as he told you before the game, he told you after the game, there is nothing to do in Nebraska, so that crowd is always going to be raucous. And they were
some cows,
yeah,
husk some corns,
or go
go to the basketball game.
They go to the basketball game, and their basketball team's been playing good ball of late, but Maryland was able to best them. And I thought, like, between Gary and Williams. Gary Williams. They were hitting shots last night.
Nebraska between, was, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I was going last name, but it turned into Gary Williams. I didn't realize I was going to say that until it came out. But those guys were hitting some big shots, keeping Nebraska in the game. But Maryland never relinquished the lead. They got as close as, I think, 3, but never relinquished the lead.
Look, there's a point where they built it to 11 where I thought they might run them out of the gym. And then that's where that's
the
Big Ten basketball. There's going to be a run. The officials may or may not have a little something to do with not wanting it to get to be too one-sided. You know, the officials are paid by the Big Ten. The Big Ten wants to make money and get ratings. The closer the games are, the more likely you are to keep watching. I'm just saying.
The flagrant on Julian was a 5-point play.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge.
Could have been a 7. They got the ball, too.
Yes. So, despite all that, they never let it. They obviously never blew the lead. It was never they never relinquished a multi-possession lead, and it was vital. And again, I think Jacoby Gillespie and just his ability to alter tempo and pace and setting. I thought he was a maestro, just knowing when to push it, when to hold it back. They did look 12 turnovers is not necessarily ideal, but. I don't recall a whole lot of devastating turnovers, you know, in the final 10 minutes. And to the passing of it all, I feel like now that they've been together for a bit, some of those Derek Queen fastballs across the court, the cross-court howitzers, I feel like they're more ready for them now. I feel like they're a little more connected. And how about, again, I will never get sick, and full disclosure, we don't have that much time left to watch it, so enjoy it while you do. Just keeping it real. I will never
always get it.
It's just a fact. It's a fact.
Just enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, just enjoy it.
Yeah, you don't need to.
You don't have to count it down.
Juju's not coming back. He can't play here forever.
No, just enjoy
it. And the other kid's probably gone too.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah.
He's gone.
There's still a lot of games.
When those two pass the ball under the basket, when those two are connected and feeding each other under the basket, that one sequence with the three bullet passes that ended up in the layup for Juju. They do some spar. No, it ended up with the layup for Queen, where it looked like Juju just one handed it. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Hey, look at the ball was going out of bounds.
Queen got fouled, and he took hit two free throws. The one time
Juju
pass.
Keeps it in bounds, yeah. Whips it with one hand to Queen, and then Queen goes up. He didn't make that shot.
He got fouled.
Okay,
dude. How about when Queen's running the floor with the ball, dribbles up behind the back, yeah. Find Seldon Miguel underneath the basket for a layup. And you're like, this is a 6'10", 19-year-old making that type of move.
I feel like we've buried the lead here, though.
Somebody else about to leave?
No. Not that I'm aware of. But if they were, I would keep it real and tell you.
Keep the countdown.
Miguel has to have more eligibility.
Yeah, exactly.
He can stay forever. He'll get an exemption.
Yeah.
This was quite the topic of conversation on the postgame show.
The bench.
Well, that's one way to look at it, Bone, if you wanted to be negative.
Yeah.
Is this the best starting five?
That's me.
That's you. Is this the best starting five in the country?
Yeah.
Maybe Alabama's better. Maybe a couple other teams are better. But our buddy Jason Yellen from SID over at University of Maryland crunched the numbers. It is the highest scoring five-man starting unit in Division I basketball. Well, they have the highest scoring starters. 68.8 points, Bone. Basically, your magic numbers.
No,
from their starters per game. And only Kentucky has had more instances this season where everyone in the starting five scores double digits.
Well, and going a step further with that, they're one of, entering this game, one of four schools in the Power Four where all five of their starters are scoring double digits. I mean, that's a select company right there.
Let's hear more from Kevin Willard. Cut 41, Beltway Ben, talks about the last 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah, we had a good play call set up. You know, we were just going to ghost the screen with Kobe and let Rod take on Hoiberg one-on-one. I like that matchup. I didn't think we had a call timeout. I like having a couple left if you have to use them towards the end of the game. But I liked our matchups. I like our setup, and I thought we executed well.
They kept speaking of execution, we talked about it in the open. Nebraska kept hitting shots, and Maryland came down time and time and time again and executed their offense and answered.
Yeah, I mean, if they got something from their bench, would it have been a little different? Would they have closed a little sooner? Would that 11-point lead not have dwindled? I mean, was there a point where some of these guys hit the wall a little bit? I mean, maybe. It's clear they need Ghaffari back. And back in the form we saw him at, I would say maybe December, you know, where he looked like he might be a guy who could be instant energy, instant offense, and he's got the length to defend above the rim, right? The best hops on the team. I do feel like if they could get him fully healthy again and in good form, now that Geronimo's back to kind of being a tough guy for them, that it could make the bench a little more viable. But, like, I think if you're looking for backcourt scoring out of this team beyond the starters, I don't think it exists.
This is the reality. They have not had a game in which their bench has scored 10 points since the Northwestern game. The Terps bench in their past seven games since then have scored 27 points combined. So less than 4 points per game from their bench in that span.
Hopefully Ghaffari, who still has the flu, will be available on Sunday when they take on Iowa. Coming up next, we switch to the Orioles, all the young dudes. Adley Rutschman in camp. Has he gotten himself into great shape? Is he in the best shape of his life?
You're the expert on this. You're discerning eye.
Well, we'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Yeah, he looks great. You know, spent a lot of time this offseason talking with him. Totally bought into his offseason plan, not only offensively but defensively. He looks really good right now. He's as driven as he's ever been, and you know, expect them to have a good camp.
Brandon Hyde talking about Adley Rutschman, and we have documented all offseason Adley Rutschman and what happened in the second half of the season after being a fringe MVP candidate into June. He cratered in the second half, was bad in the two games in the postseason. And starting with like Jim Duquette, when we talked to him, our friend Jim Duquette, in the offseason, whispers became louder and louder that maybe Adley Rutschman was not in good shape last year. I can only comment on what I see on videos and pictures. He does look in better shape this year, but how does that translate into the season?
Well, I mean, I think the showing up in shape thing is always a low bar to clear. I mean, that's the bare sort of minimum, right? That's the modicum of an expectation from a professional. And when you're 1-1 and you're selected as the face of an ugly rebuild, and part of the reason you're the 1-1 is your leadership and the example you set and the role model for your peers and accountability, I guess, because that's supposed to be part of leadership. Then, yeah, when that's a part of it and you fall apart like he did, then you better absolutely positively show up the first day that catchers are there in Sarasota. And frankly, before that, and he did, and look the part. If he does not hit like at least an average major leaguer when he the last couple of years he ain't come close to hitting like an average major leaguer when he catches, but like it ain't even close. He better be a top 10 major league catcher in offensive production in the key metrics when he catches. He better be hitting more when he catches, and he better be DHing less. He should be able to catch more and to be better defensively and offensively as he catches more. If not, then he's not what they drafted him to be. He's not what they hyped him to be. And you better get very afraid that they extend somebody for optic reasons who's their guy through thick and thin, but who might not be who they build him as.
And his OPS in games he caught last year, just 650 compared to an 854 OPS when he DH'd. But this better have been the most driven Adley Rutschman has been in his
more
MLB
than wall sits,
career.
More than wall
after
sits.
All of that, like, if you weren't humbled, if you weren't embarrassed by what you put out there in the second half, I don't know what will, but something that you pointed out yesterday, Jason, that another factor, not just him hitting, defensively, and Gary Sanchez is not known for his defensive ability. This isn't a James McCann. You don't have
pitchers don't like throwing to Sanchez.
Exactly. You don't have that safety net that you've had in James McCann over the past couple of seasons, so that puts even more pressure on him behind the plate.
There's less of a safety net. There's going to be, I mean, no excuses. It's time for him to deliver.
Yep.
I think he's Matt Wieters. He needs to have a Matt Wieters season.
Well, hey, if he does, give me Matt Wieters. Like, compared to what he gave us the second half of last year, Matt Wieters would
I'm
be great.
I'm not asking for Buster Posey. I'm not asking for JT Realmuto. I'm asking for Wieters.
That's the bar.
Yeah.
He better be on par with Matt Wieters' all-star seasons.
Yeah. And that's who his comp was. I mean, I used to check it every couple of months. I'd rerun the numbers. Like, that's where he was, like, early June last year when he's still on the fringes of that MVP talk. And then really from that Astros series on after the Yankee series, he fell apart. And so now it's not really the comp. But... and he's another one. Like, oh, home runs, da-da-da. Bro better be getting on base.
How about get back
bro
to being a gap
better
hitter.
Be getting on base. And I mean elite on base.
Walks.
It's got to be a heck of a lot better than that.
I don't even mean above average 35, 36%. Like, this is a dude who they built as a 400 on base guy. Like, you better be 375 or above.
Well, we talked about it the other day. He had 92 walks in 2023. Like, last year he had 58 walks. What happened?
He started swinging at stuff he couldn't hit. Yeah.
Swinging from his knee.
He expanded his zone and got zero power, extra power from it. just became a swing and miss guy. He became a guy who went from having cerebral at-bats to having little league at-bats.
318 on base percentage. That's got to jump significantly. And getting back to 2023, because that was the 374 on base.
Yeah,
when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I was like, that's at the very least, he's got to give you 2023 numbers.
Yeah, because like we're at a point now, we're 3 years in, he's 27. Like, the bat speed, I don't know that he's going to increase his bat speed. I don't think he's going to. So that is what it is. The power, he's not an elite power guy. He's just not. Like, is he a good power for a catcher? Yes. But like, again, when you take a guy 1-1 and he's supposed to be a switch hitting monster, like, I don't care. Like, just give me extra base hits. Hit the gaps. Get back to where you were as a rookie with all those doubles. And if some of them carry, they carry.
50 extra base hits? You down with that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, give me 50 extra base hits. Give me 90 walks.
Yeah.
Like that should not be too much to ask for him. He did it in 2023.
But if we have to get there, like, great. But if we have to get there with Sanchez behind the plate a whole lot because this guy only hits when he DHs, that's a problem.
See, I don't think Sanchez ain't that guy. Frankly, I didn't love McCann.
How much was McCann at age 36? And they still rode the hell out of that.
But McCann at least is a Sanchez is
But this
not
guy's going to hit more home runs. Sanchez is going to hit more home runs than McCann.
But he's
and
not
they could sell that. They seem to love that.
But he's not a defensive catcher.
I mean, no, but
he's not.
Or they'll get whatever. Didn't they keep Buenuelos in the organization? Yeah, they'll do what
this guy's got to catch.
Yeah, he's not going to have the luxury of DHing as often as he did last year.
By the way, he doesn't deserve it.
Yes,
coming off what he did a year ago, like that was a joke that he was batting.
If you
second
don't
in
think
DHing.
They will go to any length to prop him up, we haven't been watching the same organization.
I get you,
you're
but
you're telling me he's got to catch. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
does he?
If he's hitting like he did a year ago, you're peeing on my head and telling me it's rain.
And that would be the first time they've ever done that?
No, but it just gets insulting after a while.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I've been insulted by it for 2 years. I've been insulted by it since he pissed away a trade deadline 2 years ago and pretended it didn't care. I've frankly been insulted by it since he held a Mancini too long. I mean, he has not had the internal clock for this forever. So if you think they're above selling you a bill of goods, I say that's all they do. Just listen to what they just said about Trevor Rogers. Listen to him yesterday.
Pin 93.
Oh, you know, I'm not really going to think about why we never win in the playoffs. You can't dwell on that. It's just the baseball gods anyway. He's peeing on you all the time.
Jason,
better wear a raincoat, bring an umbrella.
93.
Button up, Buttercup.
One of the highest, hardest throwing lefties
cover
in
your
baseball.
Eyes, wear 93. Some goggles.
93 holds. That's a hard throwing lefty. Once that knee gets fixed, he's going to be rocking Norfolk once the knee's good. Hey, coming up next, you know what? We didn't hear from Brandon Hyde yesterday. We just heard one cut, obviously talking about Adley Rutschman. But let's hear from Brandon Hyde. The skipper spoke yesterday. It was the first day pitchers and catchers were on the field. What did Brandon Hyde have to say? We'll hear from him next here on The Fan.
Yeah, a little bit. I think we're a little older. You know, we have some more, I think, more veteran type, especially on the mound, you know, with Charlie and Kittredge, Sagano, Big Al. You know, there's some guys that are in their mid-30s and up, and we haven't had that many veteran guys, but the guys like Gunner and Kowser and these type of guys that are still in their early 20s, they've been around in camp now here for a few years, so it's a nice mixture right now.
So that's Brandon Hyde talking about some maturity on the roster. Before we get to that, I do want to congratulate Jeff in Sykesville, Mike in Dundalk, and Eric in Baltimore. They won Metallica tickets. We'll be giving more Metallica tickets out next week.
Big winners.
Yeah.
There's one of their last names is Naraki.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the Naraki family.
Yeah. Well, then maybe he's taking a
Metallica,
family
baby. Let's go.
Hey.
Don't sell the undercard short.
Who are they playing with?
As I believe it's Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies, isn't it?
I did not know that. But yeah, it's a good lineup.
I've seen all those bands many times.
Metallica too?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You big Metallica guy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, like
the older
I'm
stuff.
Not, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really hard. You didn't like Unforgiven 2, I bet.
No.
Yeah, let's say I know Jason by now.
But like their cover of Whiskey in a Jar was awesome.
I don't know that song.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't think I do.
I think I do.
Now, do I like it more than the Thin Lizzy version? No, I don't. But I still like it a lot.
Yeah.
That was an interesting clip from Brandon Hyde.
Yes, back to Brandon.
Yes, everybody's 1 year older than they were a year ago, Skip. That's
how
it works.
He's not lying. He's not lying.
They're all exactly 1 year older than they were a year ago. But your group of position players and the dudes who are supposed to play mostly regularly, no, you're not more experienced. You're not more grizzled. You have no playoff experience in a meaningful manner whatsoever. And trust me, Hyde knows it more than anybody, and I doubt that's how Hyde would want it. But Hyde's just along for the ride. It's a Mike Elias production.
That whole group is two postseason games more experienced.
There you go, Bone.
Four total.
They are. Year over year.
They now collectively all combined have led in the postseason for one inning.
Yeah. Hey, more from Brandon Hyde, who spoke yesterday, and Jackson Holiday came to camp jacked. What are Brandon Hyde's expectations from Holiday?
Yeah, I think you saw that with Kowser. You know, with Kowser from the year before, of getting the taste in the big leagues, kind of understand it's the big leagues pitching is a lot different than anything they've ever seen before. And there's some adjustments maybe they need to make, and most young guys have that. I thought Jackson made really good strides, honestly, the last couple weeks of the season, swing mechanic-wise. Let's take it into the offseason. He looks really good out here right now. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Jackson Holiday, year two. They got this whole video on Orioles Productions. I have not watched it yet, but I feel like he's got to be better than he was a year ago. I'm expecting Jackson Holiday to put up decent numbers this year. I may be the only person in this room, but I am.
I mean, sure. I mean, yeah. He better have higher quality of at-bats.
Yeah.
The approach better be better. The knowing his strengths and weaknesses better be better. The ability to get on base better be better.
How about this? 265, 15 homers, 15 steals.
I don't care about the 265. Give me the on-base percentage.
How about the on-base 300?
No. That's a problem. You know what that means? If he's hitting 265 walking. And he's getting on base 30% of the time, he's striking out like a MUV.
350 on base. MUV.
It's 350, that's a different story.
Yeah.
It's not exactly apples to apples, but he brings up Colton Kowser. And Kowser, of course, played ball in college, which is the difference compared to Jackson.
But he was
spent more time in the minors.
Yes. But to Brandon Hyde's point, he looked completely lost defensively talking about Kowser, where no one thought that he could play.
I am going to push back a little bit on this late stage Jackson Holiday thing, because I'm someone who obsesses over every inning and every at bat. As I recall, they laid off Jackson Holiday when it got real bad again the second time, right? When he's not hitting grand slams on fastballs anymore, but the at bats are getting worse and worse and worse, and he played less and less and less as it got a little tight about where they're going to finish. And then the last couple of series, when they were pretty much locked in to where they were going to be, then you saw, but I mean, this idea that like, oh yeah, like, you know, he finished really, really strong.
I'm not saying he finished strong.
But I mean, that's narrative is out there. Like, and he's kind of selling it there. Like, yeah, he simplified his approach. He dropped the big toe tap. He dropped the leg lift for a toe tap. And he had better at bats at the end. But like, they had to. Dude, he and Kobe Mayo were basically the last two dudes on the bench when things got really tight around there, and they had to find ways to win games to make sure they got in the playoffs.
What I'm saying is Kowser was completely lost defensively and offensively that first run, and then came back and probably should have won Rookie of the Year last year. And his metrics were fantastic defensively. Can Jackson make that leap? Who knows? But it was just done. Is to the skipper's point.
Let's hear more from Brandon Hyde. How about cut 32, Beltway Ben? His Preston Kerstad, more opportunities for him this year.
Yeah, he's going to get a ton of at-bats here in spring, and you know he's going to put up huge AAA numbers, and there's opportunity now. You know, there's a little more opportunity than in the past, and we give him every opportunity.
Guy's got to be in the lineup every day, doesn't he? Like at this point, what's he, 27?
He's not going to hit against lefties. Yeah. I mean, they've told you that. They've Tyler O'Neill'd that to death.
Yeah.
Like, and then they doubled down on it with Laureano. They got plenty of right-handed hitting outfield.
But they're going to face a lot of right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
He's got to be in the lineup every day they face a righty.
I mean, he's got to be given an opportunity to go into a prolonged slump before they start backing off of him. And the only way that happens is you let the kid play very regularly the first 2 months of the season. You've got to be willing to commit to him through Memorial Day. And if it's not working then whatever. But, yeah, he should be given that opportunity. Am I completely confident that he will? No.
You have to figure out what you have in this guy. He just turned 26, former number two overall pick. It's put up or shut up time, and it's not all his fault with the myocarditis and the injuries and the starts and stops, but you're 26 years old now. You have to see what you have in this kid.
One more from Brandon Hyde, cut 33. We heard from Mike Elias yesterday about Jorge Mateo. Here's Hyder on Mateo.
You know, it's we want Mateo to be ready when he's ready and not try to push anything, but he's making great progress. You know, he's following the progression well, and he might miss a little bit of time, but we want him to get, be fully healthy when he comes back.
Remember, Mateo said yesterday he got the brace off about 3 months ago. He's doing running. He's doing some stuff, but not – I don't think he's – has he swung? Have we seen him swing yet? But they like – I think he's
– I thought they said he was going to – he was going to take batting practice, and he was going to play a little bit of catch.
Yeah.
I believe is what Mike Elias said.
He won't be letting throws rip, though, anytime soon. Maybe late.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be another interesting one. What is the time frame? When is he actually back? How well has Jackson Holliday played in the interim? What is the team's record? How much do they start feeling a little bit like, hey, this isn't last year's start? And It'll be fairly fascinating to watch that come together. I just go back to last year. They gave the kid 10 games and then brought in Tony Kemp. Yeah, like I
that was weird.
Come on, man.
That was weird.
And why do I bring it up now? Because that was lost opportunity to establish the kid sooner, and maybe I'm spend the whole year in the majors, in which case maybe this year he really is ready to take a leap. You want me to buy Jackson Holliday in year two? You should have handled Jackson Holliday in year one in a more common sense manner.
You're right, but you didn't have it exactly right. Remember, he didn't make the team after we thought he should have. Tony Kemp started the
year. Was horrible.
Year.
Then,
yeah.
Then
they brought him up for 10 games.
Yeah. And then sent him back.
We'll always have the sliding catch.
Yes, in Boston. Yeah.
The $1 million catch.
That was a hell of a catch, Jason. Yeah. That catch, Tony Kemp, saved the game, I think. I'm going to say
big
he did.
Moment. Yeah,
I'm going to say he saved
That's
the game.
That's his legacy.
He saved that game. Hey, coming up next, it's a Friday. And what is a Friday without Best Bets with the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, also Beltway Ben. That's next here on The Fan.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.